for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, December the 26th, 2003. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry is the minister of the morning from Beaumont, Texas.
This morning's lesson will be coming out of possible causes of diseases. I'll be sharing a lot of information concerning this this understanding. And since there's a lot of information printed about it, the psychiatrists, the New Agers, people into crystals and all this other paraphernalia, they have a lot of studies on it. I have not personally looked at any that I know of material from the New Agers, but I've heard the testimonies of those who have come to me saying, well, they do it this way too, and they do it that way too. And I've gathered my information that way as far as what the New Agers are saying about the possible spiritual roots to physical infirmities. We don't have a lot on the table that's going to directly relate to what I'm about to share, but indirectly, there's a lot on the table that covers everything I'm about to share. And so as it is all around the country, with I think it's sort of a revival around the country where you and I, as workers for God, as deliverance workers, we're starting to embark on a new arena of warfare where we were just content with just casting the spirits out of individuals. Now we want to know why they were in there and not just be so happy and content the fact that, whew, we got him out of there, you know. And we want to know, and the people that are getting free want to know, how did those demons come on board? If you are of the persuasion that multiple personalities are demons, let's just say that unless you can show me otherwise in Scripture, I tend to believe that the multiple personalities are evil spirits. But nevertheless, we do know that they are areas that individuals can't really have the fullness of Christ operate in their lives if they can't be single-minded. And so God wants us to be single-minded in our walk with God. The information that was shared on yesterday evening, if you're emailed to camp, I'll contact the camp can give you my email. And I will try to give you copies of the 12 steps that I ministered from. But also be aware that I don't always have to use each step. But mostly on new converts that are coming in for deliverance, I may take them through the whole step process. But we have a lot of different types of weapons in our armory. And we have no set plan. With each case is unique and precious to God. And so we try to stay open to God on how he would have us minister to that individual. And I would encourage you not to be just focused in one area, but to look at all of the aspects and all of the ministries that the deliverance ministries and restoration ministry are going to share with you so that you have access to all of these different works. Possible causes of disease, and if we could get it all on the tape, I would say the possible spiritual risk to physical illnesses. There's a lot of material on this, and I have lots of notes, and there are going to be some scripture reference there and some parallels to show you in the Word what the Word shows us of the various manifestations of diseases are and what their spiritual roots are. Let me just say this, that I assume that every physical illness, including trauma, infection, inflammation, tumors, irritation, allergies, paralysis, atrophy is a result of some spiritual reality. The natural realm, where it's manifest in the realm of sight, is always parallel to and results from some spiritual activity. The physical manifestation is just the fruit of some spiritual root in our lives. Since about 94, I've been studying spiritual parallels. I've never taught on it here. I've always hit around it. Not that we had anything to hide. It's just I try to listen to what God tells me to share. And I think he's always right. And I've seen the fruit of that by when I would teach a lesson, I would back off and see the people getting free. I said, okay, I understand. So it's not that I withheld anything. It's just you can only do so much in each session to share on such a subject. There are a number of people that have been studying parallels for the last a number of years. And we're very fortunate to have elders here that understand the parallels, and elders that will be coming with Sister Jerry McGee, and there are a few others around the country that have really plowed into this. But how many of you know it takes a balance? And so I do my part as a team of Lake Hamilton. Everybody does their part. We're here to bring balance, okay? And if we don't bring balance, that's a curse. Okay, so we're all working together as a team to bring that balance. So the physical manifestations, the problems that people are having, what's manifesting, what's the condition, is just the fruit of some spiritual root in their problem, in their life, or in the life of the sins of the forefathers. Some of the possible spiritual roots could include generational, which would be bloodline curses, sins, diseases, familiar spirits, genetic weaknesses. Could be unrepentant or unconfessed sin. Could be the spiritual roots, blood infusions or organ transplant. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later because we may see a lot of that in days to come, and we need to know how to break the curses over the blood you received and so forth and move on with your life and not go into condemnation and think you're going to go to hell. So I'm going to give you some balance on that. I know there's a far left on it. Then there could be defilements in your life or in the life. I'm a disciple minister, so I will constantly refer to the people you're going to minister to. Curses, including a medical diagnosis and the test results. There's a lot of testimony on that. Drugs, especially those called medicated or medications. And then in 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, talks about we're sick because of not discerning the body. Then bitterness. Ooh, that's a bad one. Bitterness, bitter roots, bitter harvest, judgments. And then there's unforgiveness. And, of course, we know that all this is working and the works are being done by evil spirits or demons, unclean spirits. And then there are those who call in as good, viewing it in a way as to get attention. I remember my daughter, she was in intensive care, and from a major car accident, bust her liver, crushed her face on one side, and broke her femur. And they were heavy medicating her, and I'd go in the room, and I'd hug her and stuff, and she said, "Oh, I just like attention, Daddy." But there's the far left where people are more concerned about the disability payment and the attention they get because everybody's coming by helping them out. And they don't want to get well. There's problems with possible roots in person's life because of some types of inoculations they may have received. And that's a teaching in itself, dealing with the flesh and animal blood and a lot of other things. Lack of faith, double-mindedness, not asking God to heal you, and then, of course, impatience. I want to share with you about the significance in the location of the body. When God made Adam from the dust, the question might be, did he have a pre-existing pattern? While we are composed of these various parts, we have particular elements like organs, we have systems, several systems in our body, a respiratory system, skeletal system, nervous system, etc., tissues, and we have functions. And some of you, I heard someone mention the other day, they had a word of knowledge from the Lord about sinews and nerves and stuff around us. So that's, I mean, right on target. God speaks to us, and it's in his word. Many people believe that there's a pattern for our bodies, and they believe that our physical bodies resemble our souls, that the two are counterpart, if not duplicates. This would mean that the location of the various functions of the soul would align with the locations of these same functions within the physical body. Therefore, it's often helpful to consider the part of the body that's involved in a physical illness and then to seek what the scripture says about that specific organ. And this is where we're going. I mean, the time has come where we need to search the scriptures and not just be content with, "I got free last night from eating disorders or whatever." We need to search the scriptures. I'm going to share with you some bare bone outlines on what some of these natural body parts may represent in the spirit. It's not conclusive. What it may represent in the spirit. For example, the feet are symbolic of faith. The ankles involve putting faith into action, like the lame man in Acts 3. Our walk symbolizes our growth and progress in the faith. And I think it's significant that those healed of lameness or foot problems throughout the Bible, they don't simply walk. Throughout the Bible, they leap, they run, or they dance because they have come through the illness and healing where they increase. It's also significant in the Bible that a crooked walk is significant of sins of the forefathers or those that have turned their back from God. If our illness concerns our feet, we consider as all the many, many scripture references to the feet. You've got to search the scriptures. The bruising of the heel of the woman's seed, the anointing of the big toe of the priest, the piercing of Jesus' precious feet on the cross, the statue with the toes of iron and clay. Feet should be showed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet should not be swift to run the mischief. They can be beautiful upon a mountain, And like a hind's feet on the high places, we should wash the saints' feet. We study, we pray, we meditate. Not just me. I'm talking about you and the people that you're ministering to. Get them to do a scripture study on their problem. We study, we pray, we meditate, and sooner or later something is going to be illuminated. Something is going to click, and we know the next step to take on the road to healing. You've got to get the word in. You've got to get the word in. The mouth. All of my notes and the things that I have are available. That's no big deal. Okay. I know it's difficult to keep up with everything in an hour or two sessions. The mouth with the hands is one of the two primary instruments of worship. The spoken word is creative. Life and death are in its power. And according to Psalms 34, our praise should continue to be in our mouths. But it also is the seat of lying spirits. As with the prophets of Ahab, our words are one of four things for which the Bible says we will be held accountable. The mouth is also the gate to our being. It's one of the gateways to our soul. Remember the word profane, as I was mentioning to Crystal's young brother today, that profane means bringing something across the temple threshold. The tongue runs things. It is the rudder, the bridle, and the fire of James 3, and no man can tame it. Poison may be under it. I'm not going to some of these scriptures. Now, some of them I will go to. I feel comfortable that we're all comfortable with these basic scriptures that I'm sharing with you. And I pray the Lord will bring them into more light as we go through them. But I will go through some of the scriptures. The mouth and the tongue depict taste, which is symbolic of pleasure, desire, and experience. And oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And in Matthew 5, we shall hunger and thirst after righteousness and be filled. It also represents consuming. Our soul's intake can be sweet in the mouth, Revelation 10, and bitter in the belly, just like natural food. Our teeth. This is real unique here because something I have a personal testimony here. Our teeth are referred to as weapons. Our enemy's teeth are broken in our defense. Pulled or broken teeth render the ungodly helpless. Other tissue is touched by the blood. Nutrition comes in. The waste goes out via the blood, but teeth are bathed in saliva. And according to Scripture, there is poison under the tongue, and teeth are somehow come under a different aspect of the covenant because they are not naturally regenerative, like other tissue, even other bony tissue, but naturally tend to decay. All this problem means, per se, is that healing doesn't apply, but what is needed is a miracle. Okay, and in each service, when you're ministering, you need to release the gifts of the Holy Spirit because this is how. And I mentioned last night how the Lord will come into our presence. A complete body is not just because two or three are gathered together. A complete body is when the body is functioning in the gifts. So we want to hear from God. On the other hand, teeth are twins, and they could be replaced by God. There's so much in the Scripture about the mouth, the tongue, and the teeth that much study is required to find possible roots for their diseases. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, I believe this is one that I had a personal testimony on. I'm going to give you two or three on the teeth. So in Proverbs 25:19. Oh, yes. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Well, I had an individual whom I love, and we've been friends since elementary school, and I just really expected a lot out of this person, and he couldn't give what I asked for. We all have our different areas of ministry and where we're able to contribute to the total function of the ministry. And I didn't allow this person to function where they can function the best, and I just wanted them to meet me at the level I was because they had been in ministry 30 years. And I loved them as a personal friend, as a man of God, just assumed that they ought to just catch on what I'm talking about, and I need this done, I need that done. But they're accountable, they have ability, they're responsible, but they just don't connect on where I need them in this particular area of ministry. And it took me a long time just to accept them for what they are and see that they are progressing where they are. And I just wanted the apostle to be an evangelist and the evangelist to be a teacher, and it's not going to happen. Okay. So as a result of that, I got real frustrated one day because real frustrated don't mean I was running around stomping. It's within I was like dealing with this, And I remember looking at him saying, I wonder why he didn't do this. And my tooth broke in my mouth in service. I said, man, I knew the scripture too right quick. I went to myself, oh, Lord. And I knew it. I repented. I said, oh, God, forgive me, And I judged him unfaithful, and the trouble and the pressure caused my tooth to snap. And fortunately, I had a dental appointment the next day at 9. Because every time I went, the feeling was right there. So that happened to me. It happened. And instantly, the Lord gave me the scripture. And this was about 7 or 8 years ago. He's still with me, still my best friend. So, but I was expecting, no more. Did I learn my lesson? Not quick. It's taken some time to learn my lesson, but I placed too much responsibility on an individual and placed my confidence, and not so much that he was unfaithful, but his faithfulness, his ability was only into another aspect of the ministry, and I tried to cross him into another area. It was wrong. It was my fault. Teeth or something else, huh? We'll look some more at the teeth in a minute. The head represents authority. The head is bowed to show respect, submission, and worship. It is covered for protection, anointed for consecration, crowned for the role of a ruler. It is lifted up in exhilaration, sprinkled with dust and ashes and grief, and sometimes wearing a hat denotes a filling of a role, and hats are often part of a uniform. We must be careful about false or evil coverings of the head, as when a father surrenders his authority over the family to someone else, and false anointings, as when we have our head sprinkled in baptism into a cult. Let me just say this. I may share a few minutes more about the head, many times persons come and they have problems with migraines or headaches, and I'll ask them about their relationship with their father and relationship with their pastor, accountability and things like that, and begin to get a spiritual discernment on why their head might be having problems or if they have unresolved issues such as hate. And we'll cover a little bit more about this, but I want you to think about the authority and when referencing the head. Now, the neck is symbolic of submission or stubbornness, and a stiff neck generation is resistant to the Lord. So the neck is the seat of rebellion or yielding or taking the yoke. And if we could see in the spirit, we might see that there are a lot more yokes than the yoke of Jesus around some of our necks. And there are many yokes yet to be broken off of all of our necks probably. God is delivering us from these various yokes. But the neck tension can cause headache. And a stiff neck brings pain to the head, both naturally and spiritually. The hair is connected with strength, as in the Samson Nazarite vow, and with rebellion. The length of hair speaks of rebellion and shame for both men and women. Then in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul says that men should have short hair and women long. And today, men often have long hair and earrings, and women are frequently shown. I guess Paul would probably be appalled today if he's seen what was going on. The military and the prison system is caught on to it to bring everybody into to a discipline and accountability and a false humility. They shave all of the hair and they reconstruct their identity and put everybody on an even scale. There's a lot to say about the head. Baldness is associated both with mourning and degradation. Baldness runs in my family. It ran in my family. Excuse me. And as you can see, that I'm getting my hair back. Praise the Lord. But my father, when he was 52-ish, 53-ish, came home, and my mother was saying, "Come see your daddy, come see your daddy." So I looked at him, he looked like, well, I mean, nothing changed. I mean, you know, he fell off the chair a few times, but he's about the same guy, you know. And she said, "Well, don't you see?" I said, "What?" Look at his head." I said, "Oh, my God." He didn't got his hair tweeted in his head. So he had to got him one of the implants. He didn't just get a wig, he got an implant. But thank God today he's 73, fine man. I love my dad. My dad loves me. And he's got rid of the implants, and he just wears his hair real short, you know. So anyway, I started working on breaking the baldness curses off of the seed and my seed a number of years ago. And I'm telling you it works because I'm 50 now, and my dad was bald. The eyes are the window of the soul. It's another one of the gates. We have several gates, especially for light, and the eyelids allow the closing of the gate, and we can't close the ears, and it's interesting to note that serpents have no eyelids and can see even when they're asleep. In Psalm 73, 6 verse, it says, "Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment." Pride, garment of sin, violence. "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt. Corruption, speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they are loftily." Here in verse 7, we find the possible cause of glaucoma, whether it be that individual or generational. But we see the pride and rebellion and the violence here, and you do a study on the scriptures and find out here what's being shared. And but we see that it's the fatness, the eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than a heart can wish, and that's really the root cause of glaucoma. It's pressure on the back of the eye. So you continue to do a study on the eyes and find out what's going on there. Eyes are indicators of the emotion, joy, sorrow, fear, enlargement. I guess We have a TV at work. I'm just very fortunate. I have a pretty decent job. I work with a young man that I'm going to believe him to come to know Jesus, and I probably get cussed out at least once a day. The preacher jokes is at least twice a day, but I cook pretty good, and they can trust me. They know I'm not a snitch. If I got something to tell you, I'm going to tell you to your face. I'm not running to the boss on you. But anyway, around 4 o'clock, they all want to touch turn on the TV and listen to Judge Judy. And Judge Judy tell you, I'm smarter than 100 men. And she reads the people out there, all these judge movies, you got to watch them because they're out there reading the personality, looking at the body language, the eyes and all that. So I just bring that up here so that we know that you're like me. I'm a working preacher. And so we are in the job market for a reason, not just to make a living, but we're there to learn about the things that the people are going to come to us that are having problems with the job market so we can minister to them. How can you minister to somebody if you've never done anything? So I've done just about everything you can think of. I mean, from the railroad, the pipe fitting, plumbing, I mean, you name it. Whatever it takes, and we're going to work. But anyway, the bitter and hurt people often close themselves off, and their expression becomes hard and set, and which indicates an emotional state. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verse 17, it says, the eye that mocketh his father and despise it to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There are unresolved issues with our family. You know, this is where we first learned about obedience and rebellion. It started in the home. And when Dad said, don't do this, what do you mean don't do this? I mean, I can remember my children more recently because I'm pretty much in age now with my grandchildren. And you tell them, put that down, Gary Jr., and then he snatch it back from you, you know, around 3 or 4, and then you take it and say, I told you to put your hands off of that, son. And he snatch it back for you, and that rebellion's come up. Then it's time for the hand on a little hiney there. And if you spat a rod, you hate the child. Of course, it's always taught you spat a rod, you spoil a child. I want to spoil my children. I just love them. Come on, y'all go ahead and hurry up, get married and have more children. So that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say if you spat a rod, you hate that child. Okay, so when the children start, when they get to the age, when they start pulling back, when Papa says something, or when Daddy says something, that's when I lay it off into them. Let them know who's in authority. Okay, and then you love them. Then you say, go play. You don't lock them up in the closet for the next 6 hours. So that's their part of discipline and learning about the father's love. And persons that have had unresolved issues with their fathers and mothers in youth, they sometimes have a problem with dealing with Father God's love in their adulthood. Okay, so because of unresolved issues and despising, mocking your father, search the word mocking, despising to obey your mother, it could be a major root cause to spiritual blindness as well as natural blindness, a failing eyesight. Eye problems which cause the tearing or discharge, the pink eye, can come from grief and sorrow, Psalms 31:9. I've seen this, a lot of infants have a real thick, crusty buildup on the eyes, and they can't open the child's eye. They have to take a solution, a warm water, and begin to remove that crust that builds up on that child. That's a term for it. I just can't remember the name of it. But anyway, I do know that in many cases, it's rooted in somewhere in the family, grief and sorrow, or they have some Catholic background somewhere, Roman Catholic. But anyway, there can be eye problems there that needs to be dealt with in the area of grief and sorrow. It's a heavy crust on children. Some of you ever seen that before on little children? Okay. I haven't had my hands on an actual case like that in several years, so it's not really coming back to me like it normally does, but I do know that we have experienced that in the past. And then Crystal's brother mentioned something to me. He was quoting from Job, the 17th chapter, verse 5. He named it. He quoted it, and I gave him the scripture on it, that how we can our children can develop failed eyesight if the parents do something. Okay, Job 17:5. Let's say, he that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. So flattery can bring cause our children's eyesight to begin to fail, cause them not to be able to. I know it has the natural and the spiritual application, the natural application, actual poor eyesight, the spiritual application, then there'll be adultery, walking mixture in the gospel. Because you're not stable and sincere and committed. You know, you're drinking out of two cups, mixture, two lovers, second master. In the Song of Solomon, Solomon talks about dove eyes, and Hosea talks about dove eyes, and those are individuals that don't have parental vision. How would you like to walk around? And I can't think of the eye condition, Doc. I can't think of what they call it when, because I have a young man I'm working with, when it just squares up right here and they can't see anything. And the failing eye, the retina degenerates, and it's a term for that eye deterioration. And they can't see anything but straight like that. They get a tunnel vision and they have no peripheral vision. That's not the will of God for us. God wants us to walk in discernment and be aware and have all of the vision and not have dull vision where we just can't see from a peripheral perspective. That can also apply in their ability to receive the word and grow in the light of Scripture. But anyway, you can look at that in Hosea. It has a lot in Hosea about the tribe of Ephraim. It has a lot to say about these things, especially about miscarriages, barrenness, and curses as a result of disobedience. Okay, all of the organs of sense parallel their spiritual equivalent. The eyes, vision, of course, we see both our natural and our spiritual eyes. The ears represent hearing. They are the first sense organ to awaken from sleep. They're the last ones to lose their function. The skin, especially the hands, represent feeling, touch, pressure, pain. The skin is a significant border which is not to be breached by cutting or injecting. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 25:28. In Proverbs 25:28, it says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." The wall here is can be significant to our skin. We are a tripart being. We consist of spirit, soul, and a physical body. Our bodies were not designed to be breached by cutting or injecting. So for those of you and those that we were ministered to that have had to have cutting or injecting, then we need to break the soul ties with the physicians. And some of us were just maybe cut in a fight. Maybe it was just a small little cut, like a quarter-inch stab. We never even went to the doctor, but it still breached the border. And we just think it's insignificant. Okay, but 20 years later, you got problems in that part of your body or your leg where you was cut as a child. I played a lot of sports, and I got walks to prove it. But I don't have any problems with any type of pain, discomfort, arthritis. I usually run every day. Well, not far, because we got a treadmill. So I don't have to go around the corner no more. Try to do a little exercise, but it don't profit much, but I try to do a little bit. But the point is that the cutter speaks of a breach somewhere in the spirit. We had a child that, a friend of mine that retired, he didn't retire, he quit his medical practice, and they were sharing with me, and I can tell you exactly, I have it on video, this was in 94, in December when Texas had the freeze, and they had a young girl that had just lacerated from here, from the deltoid down to the elbow here. There was a laceration. And mind you, as part of your ministerial ability, some of you are pastors and ministry, why not learn a little bit about the anatomy, learn about the body, just learn a little bit. Don't go left on this. But I try to teach our people. I have charts when we teach on healing for the disciples. I'm not talking about just the regular congregation, but they're already familiar with it because we don't have a lot of number at this time while we're building. But I have charts of the muscular system, the skeletal system, the organs. And so I tell them what they are and what they do. And this doesn't happen in one session. This happens over the lifetime of our ministry. So we get familiar with it. So when somebody comes and say, "I have a headache," they don't just run up there and say, "In the name of Jesus, here they go." They want to know, did you play sports? Were you in a car accident? Did you have whiplash? How's your relationship with your dad? So why not go to the Office Max or the school places where the children go get their stuff and buy the charts they have in science class and just get familiar with them. And then study enough to do a basic teaching and share it with your congregations. The organ, this is this one, muscles do that, the spine is. Okay, so she had the deep laceration, and because of this area here, if you get a proper cut here, you don't really have a large nerve coming this way. You can have minimum blood, but you can expose the bone. Because when it separates, the muscle will make it exposed. And he told them to wrap it up. The little girl had to be around 6 to 9, so they wrapped it up, and they came down. When they came, they said, "Well, she's cut, good 6-inch cut. Her bone is exposed." That had been clarified, and they wanted to open up. He said, hold up, let's just talk. And they prayed. Then he began to share with them what the Lord was placing on his heart, that there's obviously there's somebody that's speaking against you, and you're not resolving the issue. You're not doing anything about the issue. And as a result of the cutting of somebody that's familiar with both of you, the husband and wife, the child is the weaker vessel, and the betrayal knife or the knife has found its path under her, as Christ is the head, and the head of woman is man, and the woman and the child, and the child is the one taking the hit. And they were functioning Christians. My understanding was that the wife began to ask the husband, or began to tell the husband, "I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him anything." And what happened was, on the job, he was the manager of a restaurant, and some of the children from their church had been caught drinking. He handled the situation. He told them took them to the families, and he did it in a real loving way. But he would not, at that point, institute discipline with them because they were constantly walking on the job, talking behind his back, mocking, "Oh, Brother Landry, he saw so. He pimped on us, our daddy." You know, all that, you know, instead of him dealing, he knew what was going on. Instead of him dealing with it, he just kind of like Ahabbed it out. And so my friend asked him, said, "Well, do you know spiritual warfare?" I said, "Well, no, not really." So he shared with us some basic things about prayer and binding the spirits and breaking a curse and speaking blessing upon those children. And they caught on to that real quick, and then they repented of not taking authority on the job instead of just being Ahabic about it. And at that time, then they said, "Okay, now let's remove the basket. I mean, the Band-Aid." When they removed the Band-Aid, the 6 inches went down to 1 inch in before the eyes. I have his witness. I have his daughter's witness. Okay? It went down to 1 inch. And being a physician, an ex-physician, he immediately picked up the little white gauze they have and put it over that 1 inch, and it closed up to that. That's as far as his faith went. And sometimes that's as far as our faith is. You know, the prophet Elisha asked the woman, say, "What do you have in your house?" "I don't have anything." "Well, I got a vessel of oil." Okay, what do you have in your house that God can move and multiply your needs with and bless you? That's a powerful teaching, how God, how she obeyed the man of God, and her sons went out and got all of those vessels and brought them back into the house. And the prophet had told her to begin filling up. She must have had a time of thought. She must have had a time of consideration. Her husband had died. He had served faithfully under the prophet Elisha. Now her sons were being held accountable for a debt that her husband had incurred. She must have thought for a second. She locked up in the house with her two boys. She grabbed the vessels. She looked at them, and a thought came to her mind. Faith arisen in her soul, and she picked up that vessel, and she poured it into the first one, and she must have did like this, and she looked. It was full. She looked at the one she had. She said, "Oh, my God," and just kept on filling up all those vessels, all those vessels. Now, this is where we miss God sometimes. This is where we miss God. When she finished that, well, she shut it down. She sat down. And she waited. Then she went back to the prophet of God and said, "What should we do next?" "No, we don't do that. We know the will of God, so we just step out there and we blow it." She waited and asked the prophet of God for, "What's the additional instructions you have for me now?" Everybody knows she's going to sell it. Isn't that the way we normally think? It's moving already. It's going good. It's going good. So I know God wants me to go ahead out here. As a result, it's been my misfortune over my life to get rescued out of a lot of situations by God because assuming and taking for granted what the next step was instead of saying, "Okay, now I've done it, what's next?" Am I making any sense? Making any sense? Believe me. I thank God for Glenn's, Pastor Glenn's prophecy last night that my wife and I were prospering in business. I was going to go tell him this morning. I said, "Wait a minute, we need to talk about this." Then the Lord said, "Don't tell him nothing. Just say, take it and you need a blessing." So I received that. We're gonna walk in the abundance that God has promised for us. Amen. The nose is designed for smelling aromas in the natural and is equivalent to the discerning of spirits. So when your nose is all flared up and you can't smell if something's on fire, my goodness. I was in my apartment when I hadn't been saved 3 months. I'm going to say 3 to 6 months. I was in my early salvation. I really wasn't connected with the ministry. That's how I know it was very early. And I just got saved in my apartment. And I had left some rabbits. I don't know about you wild game lovers, but I had a lot of wild game. Last night we were eating deer meat around here at 11:30. I had something on the stove, completely forgot about it because, you know, I had a lot of demons controlling me. I had the love of Christ, but the demons were there too. And so it was on fire. The fire department kicking the front door down, walking in, water flashing all over the place. I'm in the bedroom in the Bible. Man, I'm reading. Can't smell nothing. And it's unfortunate that many people, as soon as they get saved, the first thing they say they have is discerning the spirit. And that's to protect them from the neighbor who knows all about their personal life and the gifts of the help the body. They're a minister to the body, not to protect you and make so that you can know who don't like you. So we tend to abuse the discerning of the spirit. And the discerning of the spirit is something that you gain. And, the gifts are enabled from God, okay? They operate supernaturally. And we tend to relate the discerning of the spirit to an inner natural gift that we already have. We're just particularly a little bit more sensitive than other folks. That's not true. The gifts of God operate supernaturally through those that he used. If you got to see it that way, you become the gift. The thorax, the throat, the chest cavity, the lungs, the seat of pneuma, the wind, the breath, the spirit within our beings, and the lung functions to breathe in life-giving air, breathe out the poison, and some people believe it's the sight within the physical body for the spirit. The blood, of course, is the sight of the soul, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. The blood contains every facet of the soul, the intellect, the memory, the emotions, the will. And an outflow in the blood may reflect loss of power of the soul in whatever part is bleeding. It frequently indicates an attack by a spirit of death. I've seen this a number of times in individuals that we've ministered to, particularly in my family. When there was bleeding, I looked for the significance in the location of the body where they're bleeding and began praying that way. If the docs, for some reason, doctors don't know, a lot of times in senior citizens, there sometimes could be some bleeding. They have really hard problems finding it. They do all kinds of GI series and other, but they have a problem finding it with a blood loss. And so there are a lot of people get pints of blood often because they really can't find it. And sometimes it takes years to find where what a leak is, and I'm just convinced that there's a problem there with life being drawn out by the demons, and they have some legal right that they're using, and it's generally found in the bowels. A lot to say about bowels here in a moment. And one wide open door for infirmity is receiving blood or blood components. When we receive into our being a part of another person's soul, or you give them a part of yours, there is no immunity given. The walls built against strangers within, and we spoke in Proverbs 25:28 about those walls. What happens is when we receive it and we don't bless it and pray over it and break the curses off the blood that we receive, all the ones that we're praying for, because, you know, some people don't do that. They just receive it, you know. They've had surgeries and stuff and they never thought about it. Let's go ahead and remove all of the impurities and the intellect and personality of the persons who donated the blood. This sets up a civil war within us. The recipient's body naturally rejects the invader. It's going to naturally reject. I saw this in my own mother, and we like to lost her on her last blood transfusion, or she received some blood, and I knew instantly what had happened, and spent 3 months getting her back and praying and rebuking the devil and changing the physicians and all kinds of things there. The person who receives the blood is going to reject that invader because it's foreign, it's a strange flesh. If we receive a portion of a donor's soul or their flesh, life, we become one with him. And the house divided against itself is called a mixture. A lot of history and have taught us through medical journals that a lot of persons that have received certain donor parts have taken on some of the appetites. People eating hot peppers that couldn't stand pepper, and hair implants and other organ transplants. There are several published reports about this. And so, mind you, my perspective on this is that we need to break the curses off of it. In the future, I have a very close friend who's going to be with the Lord, and we talked extensively about these things because they were recipients of a donor. And I, in her last years of life, you know, when we would have our intimate conversations, we talked about her writing material about what happened in her life so that the next generation, we could reach out to people who would wake up one day from a car accident with another part and not think they're going to hell. So we could minister to those that have received donor parts in years to come. And that was my closing words with her before she went to be with the Lord. Her husband hasn't given a report, but I do have a personal tape from her on dealing with the issues of blood. And it's in my memoirs. I won't call her name at this time, but I can assure you this, that she and I did talk about this. So, in fact, you might read one of our books and might state it in there. Now you know this other part of the story, that she just wasn't content with the part. We dealt with it. Amen. I guess it would be appropriate to name the person now, but I don't think I will. If we have given or taken blood in the past, we pray about it being the cause of a delayed healing in our body. Now, there are some divine delays. You could do a study on divine delays also. Now, the bones. The bones represent the spirit part of us, the substructure of life, the support and configurations of the being. The marrow is the site of the beginning of the life of the blood, and red cells or red blood cells are born within the bone. And the Bible has many things to say about bones. Number one, in Psalms 22, none of Jesus' bones were broken. Jesus says that all my bones are out of joint. Jacob became Israel after his thigh was dislocated. Bones were the site of Jeremiah's fire to prophesy. Bones are a sign of kinship. I can see my children in the mall, and they don't have to be with me. They can be shopping, but they can turn around the corner, and I see that spine. I know that's my child. And one of the elders of our church who has studied for 2 years, in fact, before he left, he paid off the building, and then he moved to about 15, 20 miles away and began to help another ministry in another city, and we're still close, and very close. And one day I was in Sears Roebuck, and his son was working in Houston. His son would have been 20, 21 at the time, and his back was totally turned against me, and I was standing like that, and I looked at that boy's spine, and I said, "That's Bruce's son." And I just kind of made myself, you know, walked around there and said, when I bumped into him, I said, "Hey, son, how you doing? Hey, Brother Jim." But just by looking at it, and my own children and your children also have your spine. Okay, kinship. It's a sign of kinship. Bones. Even after death, the bones of Elisha were used to heal. Kinship. It's a sign of kinship, bones. Even after death, the bones of Elisha were used to heal. The man seated on the throne in heaven is flesh and blood. Flesh and bone, no blood. And then in Proverbs, in Proverbs the 14th chapter, one that we're all familiar with, verse 30, it says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." And I've known an individual that passed away as a result of becoming very, very oppressed and depressed about the slothfulness in the surrounding ministries that we were all ministering to. Many people were coming to us, as many people still do come. But I remember this individual was a warrior, a fighter. I mean, he was strong, and that's the way they will always be in my memory. They were. But they took it too personally when other people wouldn't catch on to the program. Okay? They became somewhat pharisaical in their assessment of what the other ministry was doing. They, envious and judges, we ought to have this. They got all this, and we got the truth. But they wasn't directly under my authority. They were senior to me as parental senior. But they wasn't under my spiritual authority. They were independent. We need to be accountable. If you're in ministry, you really need to be accountable and submitted to authority and love those that watch and pray for your soul. Did you have a question? I'm sorry. Well, I might have mentioned that their heart became hardened in the sense that they became dictatorial and critical of those that they were ministering to, because everybody's testimony was, "My pastor don't do this and my pastor don't show us that." So you need to be careful not to get into an area of a condemnation and judging these other ministries, because when they start speaking to me like that, just float on my head, out of my head. I try to be careful with my words, and I've learned that over the years that as much as I've learned about deliverance, the more I learned, the more I found out I don't know. And who am I to judge another man's work? I mean, before God will give you your work, you need to be found faithful to another man's work. And some of us that get involved in this work, we just become independent. Before we know, we classified as vagabonds. And we have more people out there cursing us, saying, "He's this and he's that, he's that." And I want the blessings from the people. Blessings. So I do everything. You should be able to go back to every one of my pastors, even when I was a Baptist, and say, "How do you know about Jim? What kind of guy is Jim?" That may not be your case, because some of us, because of the radicalness of our salvation, cause us to be pulled out, and God pulls us out radically. That's fine. But in my case, at least to the new converts, I'm preparing them to understand accountability, submitting to authority. Find somewhere, Lake Hamilton, anywhere, but find somewhere where you can be part of the work and people can speak into your lives, and then you can receive correction. I receive correction here, and and all of my elders and spiritual fathers, and at the local level, even the high school. Even after death, the bones of Elisha were used to heal. The man seated on the throne in heaven is flesh and blood. Flesh and bone, no blood. And then in Proverbs, in Proverbs the 14th chapter, one that we're all familiar with, verse 30, it says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." And I've known an individual that passed away as a result of becoming very, very oppressed and depressed about the slothfulness in the surrounding ministries that we were all ministering to. Many people were coming to us, as many people still do come. But I remember this individual was a warrior, a fighter. I mean, he was strong, and that's the way they will always be in my memory. They were. But they took it too personally when other people wouldn't catch on to the program. Okay? They became somewhat pharisaical in their assessment of what the other ministry was doing. They, envious and judges, we ought to have this. They got all this, and we got the truth. But they wasn't directly under my authority. They were senior to me as parental senior, but they was not under my spiritual authority. They were independent. We need to be accountable. If you're in ministry, you really need to be accountable and submitted to authority and love those that watch and pray for your soul. Did you have a question? I'm sorry. Well, I might have mentioned that their heart became hardened in the sense that they became dictatorial and critical of those that they were ministering to, because everybody's testimony was, "My pastor don't do this and my pastor don't show us that." So you need to be careful not to get into an area of a condemnation and judging these other ministries, because when they start speaking to me like that, just float on my head, out of my head. I try to be careful with my words, and I've learned that over the years that as much as I've learned about deliverance, the more I learned, the more I found out I don't know. And who am I to judge another man's work? I mean, before God will give you your work, you need to be found faithful to another man's work. And some of us that get involved in this work, we just become independent. Before we know, we classified as vagabonds. And we have more people out there cursing us, saying, he's this and he's that, he's that. And I want the blessings from the people. Blessings. So I do everything. You should be able to go back to every one of my pastors, even when I was a Baptist, and say, how do you know about Jim? What kind of guy is Jim? That may not be your case, because some of us, because of the radicalness of our salvation, calls us to be pulled out, and God pulls us out radically. That's fine. But in my case, I'm, at least to the new converts, I'm preparing them to understand accountability, submitting to authority. Find somewhere, Lake Hamilton, anywhere, but find somewhere where you can be part of the work and people can speak into your lives and you can receive correction. I receive correction here and, you know, and all of my elders and spiritual fathers. And at the local level, even the high school young teenagers, if I say something wrong, Pastor Lynn, you're not, that's the wrong scripture. You're talking about so-and-so, right? I said, yeah, that's right. Now, they can't do that if you know you're the man. You know you're the man. But it's still, you're not supposed to have a lot of interruption when you're sharing the word, because that's the Spirit of God spending. So nobody's just out there cutting me off. Now. But that's a time when the word, it's an exchange of teaching here. And so that's time for questions from time to time, as long as it doesn't get out of hand and stuff like that. But in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, verse 4, the scriptures also says, a virtuous woman is the crown of her husband, but she that make it a shame is a rottenness to his bone. Once again, we have we're talking about destroying of the red blood cells. The red blood cells are not being multiplied through the bone marrow. This sorrow, this grief, this envy, this jealousy. I have a heavy background on one side of my family in that. And so I'm kind of like unconscious. I'm very conscious of that. And even to the point it's probably made me somewhat of a pansy in my early years. And in these latter years, I've been more faithful to God and discipline and accountability to the congregation. In the past, I've been kind of like, well, you'll get it. Now I say, now you need to do this. So that wasn't part of me for the last couple of years. So the possible root could be generational bitterness or personal. And under these envious and rottenness of the bones, I found several underlying evil spirits that are its armor. Last night we talked about devices, seals and shields. So under these rottenness of the bone, or cancer of the bones, we're going to find unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, wrath, hate, anger, you know, which is going to be manifested in violence and murder. And it's going to result in a curse of the bones. One thing that I did see personally in our congregation, some family was visiting, and I would notice them sitting in the back there. And then I knew the family for a number of years, but they really couldn't connect. But, you know, I loved them, and they knew I loved them, so they would come from time to time. Then I saw one of the old boys had a broken arm. I knew then that there was a problem with a fellowship with the husband and the wife. And then another boy had a broken arm, the same family. Then I knew then that the divorce was imminent. Then it did happen. Didn't say anything to them. They went somewhere else. But I'm still very close to the family. Another friend of mine had a dislocated toe. Her husband asked her to wear shoes in the house because she kind of like I am. She walked fast, briskly. He told her, you need to put on some house slippers, you know, because, you know, you walk real fast. You know, I know he's the kind of guy this guy is. He didn't tell her you're going to break your toe or nothing, because I know him. So he just told her, you know, you need to do this, put on some house slippers. And even myself, when I go outside, I have to remember to put on house slippers and stuff. Well, she didn't do it, and she ran around, right, it was the day before her son was getting married, and she ran around the house, and sure enough, that toe hit that toe on some piece of furniture and kicked it out and dislocated it. They went to the doctor's office. The doctor wasn't there. I don't know who they saw, but they didn't set it. So she had to go to the wedding the next day, and she had one shoe on and one slip on, and she was walking with a little limp. And they was believing God to reset it, and they prayed and believed God, and they went to the wedding. Sometime after the wedding, in prayer, the toe was reset. Okay? God reset it. And then they had already taken x-rays, so they went to the doctor that Monday, and the doctor was looking at the x-rays, and she had on the highest high shoes you could wear, you know, high. And they were sitting there smiling like this. And they say, whoo, you got a dislocated toe. We need to reset that. And have you noticed? And she had a high heel shoes on. You have to know her because she's a really exciting type person. And they were just powerful. She was just a little disobedient to her husband, you know, on that, you know, something nice. So if we have concern or disease that concerns the bones, we consider the things which have to do with the spirit. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 11, Scripture says that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craft is whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him and to all things which is the head, even Christ. The point being, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I just did a teaching, I think, this past weekend on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and all of the places where the scriptures mention about joinings and the body. It's interesting that the joints are symbolic of relationships in scripture, the way people fit together and relate. We could join together in spirit to spirit, bone to bone, not in flesh or soul. Every joint should supply, and that is, and this is hindered with wrong relationships. Sometimes we need to break those soul ties there. Joint diseases like arthritis are often based in dysfunctional relationships, joinings being hurt, joints hurt, and that's much to be said about that. We might look at those things as far as relationships when we have pains in our joints and resolve those relationships. In John, the 7th chapter of John, verse 38, I believe. Let me see. John 7:38. Yes. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then in Matthew 9:36, scriptures teach us here in 9:36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. All of this comes from out of the bowel area. On them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And there's another scripture in 1 John 3:17. The stomach is the seat of the appetite and digestion. The abdominal cavity as a whole meat contains the belly, the residence of the god of the belly, the bowels, and other organs of digestion. And there's some connection with the emotions. Different scripture mentioned the belly in association with mercy, with physical love, as in the Song of Solomon. As in the source of living water which flows out. If there are stomach or digestive problems, we might consider what's being taken in, both naturally and spiritually. What tastes sweet in the mouth can be bitter in the belly. In 2 Chronicles, the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles, let me give you a scripture reference for cancer of the bowels. 2 Chronicles, when Joram succeeded his father Jehoshaphat, he was one of the ungodly kings of Judah. In his reign, in chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles, verse 12, it says, and there came a writing from him to Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord, God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, thy father, nor in the ways of Asa. And there were four kings and good kings in Judah. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Josiah, Hezekiah, praise the Lord. And so, but thou hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring like a whoredoms in the house of Ahab, and also hast slain the brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, what a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all your goods. And thou shalt have great sickness by disease of your bowels. Until the bowels fall out by reason of sickness day by day. And then in verse 18 it says, and after all this, the Lord smote him in the bowels with an incurable disease. I used to have a lot of problems with a ganglion nerve, I think it's what it's called. And it started somewhere after I come back from the military. I was overseas. And my first recollections of it was about 76. Because I go back and try to search out things. And I can remember being thrown to the floor in the bathroom with extreme pain. Suffered this for a number of years until I heard a teaching something like this and began to deal with it. I can say that I have victory. Amen. Through the Lord. In my family, because of a bitter divorce, mom and dad, I'm certain that this was one of the culprits. And probably I could have got some curses from being overseas also combined. I always try to be, as a child, always never took sides. There were sides being issued by the family, many times in a divorce as a mean scuffle. And I never took the side of, I like mama more than I like dad a little more than my mother. But I saw it affect other members of my family to the point of mental illness and dysfunctional relationships. Now, that didn't mean it didn't lead to dysfunctional relationship with me, but I made a decision to love them both and not allow the harsh words that were coming from either or other party to dictate how I would feel about each other. It was still difficult in the life of a youth to try to make adult decisions, though, so it affected me anyway. Okay. So anyway, that's on the bowels. The kidneys are called the reins of the heart, Psalm 73. I'm going to have to step it up here. I'm going to jump over a few. I'm going to just give you some scriptures, I guess, and I've called this one out, so we're going to go there. Psalms 73:21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. The kidneys are called the reins of the heart. In Jeremiah 17:10, the word reins in the King James Version means kidney. So that's Jeremiah 17:10. I'm not going there. And in the King James Version, it's translated to actually mean the kidney. The kidney is the area of our organ that flushes out the old. It acts as a filtering system. And if we are not allowing new light to come in, we just made up our mind all we want to preach is Jesus' name, baptism, and speak in tongues, then there's a possibility that, you know, we could clog up the kidney, spiritually speaking. Or somebody down that we're ministering to in that generation could have done that. And the seed is having problems in their kidney as a result of the father's idols. He had his own altars. Reins in the King James means kidney. As with a horse, the reins control where we are going, how fast. This involves a matter of choice, the setting of our will. The kidneys are also concerned with elimination of poison. If we're persistent in a wrong choice, taking in an accumulation of some kind of spiritual poison, this may be the root of illness. The liver has all kinds of function. It involves with the metabolism of carbohydrates, the clotting of blood, even circulation. With the heart, the kidneys, and the brain, the liver was an organ most frequently used in pagan cultures for cannibalism, and today for organ transplants, which is a type of modern cannibalism. There's no reason to try to learn how to correct or fix an injured or a diseased part when we can easily just get one from a donor. So the quest for knowledge is turning now to how we can use what we have instead of correcting what we got. Okay, all right. So once again, I got some balance there because once you got the part, you need to break the curses, the soul ties, and all that. All right. The face is the countenance, and it turns towards or away from the beloved or light. This is very important here, the face. It's expressive of the disposition within the soul. Self-hate is the cause of one lady I know that had, I can't think of what they call this cancer of the face, but it's incurable. And Pastor Wright was here, I believe, May 2 years ago, writer of More Excellent Way. He taught about this, and I had this on video. Anyway, this lady developed because of her self-hatred, and she hated herself. It caused her cancer to develop on her brain. Let me just read a statement I have. Stress, tension, anxiety, fear, and the big one, worry, are our enemies. God created our immune systems to maintain our bodies, and God created our bodies to be able to fight the invaders. When we permit worry, identity problems, hatred, bitterness, self-hatred to continue to have dominion in our Christian lifestyles, it's going to permit a breach in our soul. Or our immune system. And in all autoimmune diseases, the white corpuscles decide that a part of your body is the invading enemy and needs to be destroyed. And in her case, the white corpuscles went to the face area because they decided that was where the invading enemy was coming at. She was healed, and we have video and pictures to show where the cancer fell off her face literally in a month. And I forgot the name of it, but it's an incurable cancer of the face. So that don't mean everybody get in the truck and drive down to Brother Wright's place or nothing. This is, any one of you can do this. When a person has an identity problem, just get them to deal with self-hatred and teach them about being accepted in the love and tell them to renounce that, repent of that, and command that cancer to go in Jesus' name. The breaths are concerned with the nourishment of the young. They symbolize our point of kindness, nurture, flow of life to another, compassion. It's called the milk of the human kindness. Lactating women who cannot nurse a baby have first pain, then engorgement, then clogged ducts, and possibly infection. This is the same sequence in the spirit. Those who have a nourishing deposit of God within and no route to pour it out to others will suffer pain, engorgement, and clogging. I've seen this in individuals that I've trained over the years, and I stay in fellowship with the elders. Some have went to ministries that don't practice deliverance, and some of them have pastoral callings, and they've chose to submit to places I'm waiting on one that I need to counsel when I get back, because he made a statement over the phone one day, and I caught it in the spirit, and the Lord reminded me that this has been a pattern here lately. He's been really critical of leadership, and we have to be careful. If you're going to go somewhere, submit, because you can't find any place to submit. You need to be careful not to be critical of leadership. and this person has become critical of leadership, it's because they have attained a lot of understanding about ministry, and they're submitted to a place that don't teach this ministry at all, and they don't have anywhere to pour it out. And so they pour it out and become a pharisaical and man-hating spirits against the pastor. It's not his fault, you know. Pray and love him and hope that he comes to the revelation and wait for God to move you to the next place. This is your area of testing. So we need to have a place to pour out. So this is what Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is all about. Everybody here is because we all agree. So, Lord, this is wonderful, you know. Iron sharpened iron. We need to have a place every once in a while we can go, at least while we're on the battlefield, to come in and be nurtured and refueled and encouraged. And we're doing the right thing. So let's go back to work. We'll be back in 3 or 4 months, 6 months. Amen. The hands. Psalms 144:1. Scripture says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Hands speak of the work of ministry. They are instruments of praise and worship. They are members used to impart and stir up gifts. The laying of hands opens channel to pass along whatever is inside. By the way, whatever is inside, these big meetings, where the minister stands there and say, everybody touch the person on the right, and the witches and warlocks love you. Yes, receive what I have. And there's a lot in the scriptures about hands. The fingers align with each of the fivefold ministries, and the nails are considered protection. Satanists, especially ones that have committed an error, or they have progressed themselves in the occult, or people that might be in underground crime that messed up, they tend to have a finger cut off, using just that part of it. And so, that doesn't mean every time you see somebody that's in ministry with a finger cut off, they're a Satanist or something, okay? But the spiritual parallel could still be there. The shoulders denotes government, also burdens and responsibilities and other masculine functions. And I think it's significant that today women pad their shoulders to look, or indeed have actually become more manly, to assume a masculine role. They say it's to make their hips appear smaller, but why are big shoulders acceptable and big hips not acceptable? To pull away the shoulder, and we see our children do that a lot, you know, they pull away the shoulders, means to resist. It could be a possible cause of burdens that we shouldn't have to bear, probably pain. The back relates. Jesus is supposed to be our government, and everything is on his shoulders. So the back relates to punishment. Proverbs 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Very rebellious there. Relates to punishment. Then most prominent will be the examples of the stripes of Jesus. The back also is referred to affliction, and there are long furrows prepared in the way of planting the word in the back. Psalms 129:3. Back trouble can be a rejection of light. It's rejection of light, turning back, backsliding. Isaiah 2:11 and other scriptures speak of you be lifted up, I'll bow you over. Be generational. In most cases, it is. You know, your fathers and our forefathers had to do a whole lot of things in order to go into depression and a lot of things. And your condition can be a result of some sin that took place in the bloodline. So at least now you know how to break the curses and then get that back to line up if you're having some back problems. But pain and dislocation of the back also mean wrong burdens, false burdens, burdens not from the Lord, or other burdens, people burdens we've picked up. God gives grace and anointing to carry any burden he ordains. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. The scriptures on the heart come out of Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. We talk about this all the time. We need to search the issues of our heart, the mind. I'm going to move on. But I know that's one scripture we're all are familiar with in Luke 21:26, where men's heart fail because of worry. The heart of man without the Lord is desperately wicked, the scriptures say, and unknowable. Heart attack is one of the primary causes of death in American males. We can go further with that, too. But the mind is the component of the brain in which it's situated in the intellect, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. The brain has the control of the body and its functions by either the central or automatic nervous systems. All right? For the sake of time, I'm going to step up with a few more. In the mind, because of molestation, fragmented in the soul as a child because of divorce, intimidation, the pain. I had three little boys, but two of them were molested. One of them was, he was very spicy, and he fought.
But the older stepbrothers took them and grabbed their scrotum, private parts, and began to pinch them, forced the boys to lay over submission, and then they penetrated their anus in a homosexual act. And the boys kept it to themselves for about 6 weeks. Then they told their mama. And they were more or less concerned about pressing charges against the father's oldest sons who lived in another home. And the mother had been trained under us for some time. And she called me and asked for counsel. I said, yeah, sure, bring him in. So we ministered there for a long time, broke the curses. And one of the boys said, well, Brother Land, I just thought maybe I was a girl now. A certain area of territory here. And we got a lot of victory. One thing that didn't happen was I told him when we finished the session, to return back in about 6 weeks for follow-up. They haven't returned back. But when we were having lunch a couple of days ago, and the boys, you know, I had them when they were little children, the mother married another man, that's when they moved to another assembly. And two of the boys, I saw the brightness of their eyes, and, hey, Brother Jim, you know, all this, and then one of them I saw, he was a little distant. And he was the youngest of the ones that was penetrated. So I have to take it to prayer and decide on how the Lord's leading me to approach them, because they're under another authority, and yet they still consider me pastor. I don't know what's happening here, y'all. I'm sorry. Okay.
Turn it off.
Okay. Amen. It's like
us. We get road weary on the road of deliverance, and like 18 wheeler going out the road, running out of gas, and the driver say, "Oh my God." Oh, then he gets an idea. He takes the hose off the side of the truck, goes around to the back end of his truck, and he loads gas back into his tank. So this is kind of a tank reloading area. So we've been out on the road, and we come in here to get refreshed and revived. And let's see if I can find another one here. Okay, I'm going to jump right over for the last few minutes and jump right into a biblical reference to specific diseases. Before we can go to this point, I want to recap our position and emphasize that the first step in trusting God alone as healer is to forget a lot of what the world believes. We must realize that the true causes for disease are totally in conflict with what the world teaches, in opposition to the natural carnal intelligence. We believe that these true cases or true causes actually originate within the spiritual realm and represent the root from which the bitter fruit of illness springs. Okay, so I'm going to give you some basic sampling of what the Bible specifically says about certain conditions. For instance, in Job 7 chapter, verse 3, it says that concerning sleep disorders, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and weariness of nights are appointed unto me. Sleep disorders can lead to despair. One frequent cause of sleep problems is having previously received anesthesia from a previous surgery or something, and the anesthesia spirits are still there, and it causes the person to stay sluggish and sleepy. Drugs which induce anesthesia leave a residence or residue of sleep disorders, and also it can leave a resident spirit. So if you've had surgery to break soul ties with not only the physician, but the anesthesiologist, and the substance that was placed in your body. Blindness and deafness is found in 2 Peter 1, 5-9, where it talks about the spiritual blindness. And other sensory disorders can result from following blind leaders. Infections, let's spend a little extra time on infections. We speak of leaven. Yeast in a state of fermentation is a symbol of hidden, pervasive influence. It is forbidden in the Old Testament during Passover and with blood sacrifices or meat sacrifices that were burned and warned against in the New Testament. In the latter case, it is the spiritual leaven, that of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Herod, the Corinthians, and the Galatians that the Lord is talking about. And we should take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Matthew 16:6 today. Natural leaven might be abominations in our homes. We spoke about last night the abominations in our homes. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, it tells us, gives us instructions on when we find an abomination, when we go into the land, that we're to destroy that abomination. Neither shall you bring it, the abomination, to your house, lest you be cursed thing like it. Lest you be cursed thing like it. And it's got to manifest in a physical parallel. It's got to be some physical infirmity or emotional infirmity that's going to manifest. So things like statues. I mean, some statues are just so obvious to all of us here, like a statue of Buddha. We wouldn't have that. But did you find one and destroy it and not pray and break the curses, or you just destroyed it? I mean, you got to prayer is what moves God. We got to act. We got to move in prayer. And then we could have other statues. How we just think they're cute, like angels with big, large buttocks in the bathroom of a baby with wings on it. Thou shalt have no other God before me which you think is up in the heavens or below the earth or below the water. Or even below the earth or underwater. And so you have to be careful with the statues. Drugs, paraphernalia connected with false religions or the occult. I do not keep various writings around my house like Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, and a lot of other occultic groups around the country. I don't need to. In my early years, when someone was coming that had a problem, and they were involved in a cult or a false religion, I would do a quick study on it, then I would destroy the material, file it away, and then I would be able to minister to them. But I didn't just sit down with their reference books and challenge them, because all they're going to do is challenge you with their reference books. Any material you have around the house, pornography, you may think nothing of it, but we have teenagers, and hopefully our children are being brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and they don't get off into looking in our JCPenney or Sears catalogs and all of the nudities. Because you don't have to now anyway. You can watch TV and see all the nudity you want. But anyway, you could have these materials in your home. I had a man that was a minister in our group. He's of age, a senior elder at our church. He only learned how to read when he was in his 40s. He lost the ability to read when he was a young boy because his dad took him hunting. And his mom had just read him a book about, I think it's Hansel and Gretel. No, it was Snow White. It was Hansel and Gretel, I believe. Some kind of way, when a child goes out, and they get killed or something, and one of them, it's a teaching. I don't know if it's Hansel and Gretel. It's one of the ones that we get in the first and second grade. Well, he actually saw that in reality, so when he went out hunting with his dad, he thought he wasn't coming back. It's a common teaching in the first grade, but I don't know which book. I did teach on Hansel and Gretel, and Snow White, which is really gang sex, you know, Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. But anyway, so I think it's Hansel and Gretel. But anyway, he lost his ability to read, but he graduated from college. And it's a dentist. Orthodontist and all that, working in that, he did all that, and then God taught him how to read in his 40s. Great asset to our ministry. So, ungodly movies, just countless other things. Spiritual living would include religious externalism, unbelief in the supernatural, worldliness, compromised infectious sin, false doctrine. Both natural and spiritual leaven can produce vaginal yeast infections, fungus infections of the skin, athlete's foot, ringworm, certain scalp conditions, and earaches in children. Particularly earaches in children and ear problems come from not breastfeeding, but that's another teaching. If the natural body manifests a yeast infection, there's a spiritual parallel within the dwelling, either the natural home or a spiritual abode. I'm not going to cover hemorrhoids. Most of us are familiar with hemorrhoids. But I'm going to spend a little time with headache as we finish up. We talked about a little bit about them earlier, but headaches can be caused strongly because of suppressed emotions, particular hatred and anger. Migraines, headaches often stem from controlled spirits, especially through past religious affiliations not fully broken. And I mentioned that last night, that those in May in the Roman Catholic Church pray for all those that are backslidden from the faith. And some of those psychic prayers can affect those of us, like myself, who have strong Roman Catholic backgrounds in their family. Of course, they don't mean any harm. They just want to pray them back into the fold. Lord bless them that they will grow and come into the mouth of Jesus also. And well, ruling spirits are attempting to control us, can cause the headaches. Ungodly soul ties must be broken. Past idolatry repented of, and certainly any form of covenant renounced. Another possible root of migraine is control spirit operating from the mother toward the grown daughter. We've seen that. This can also occur with the male counterparts. After the child has reached maturity, parents must drop any reins that they still hold on those child, release those children. Headaches result from pain in the natural body and a hopelessness in the soul. Some kinds of headaches remove the helmet of hope. Disobedience and self-effort or humanism. Humanism caused the stresses of Egypt, Deuteronomy 28. As I mentioned before, what we look for in headaches is a number of things from submission, hate, but head speaks of covering, and we need to be under the shadow of the Almighty, Psalms 91. And we're not under the shadow of the Almighty, and you out here, you're wide open for every psychic attack and every other attack that's coming against you. So we need to stay under the covering of the Almighty, and it speaks of the family also, the husband, the wife, and the children. We all need to stay in proper alignment and in authority. This also speaks of the church, the apostles and pastors and the congregation, and all that's got to be aligned. Everything must be aligned. We look for alignment in the personal lives home. We look for alignment in their spiritual lives, in the church, submitting to authority. When we're looking at head issues and authority issues that deal with the head. I remember one time I was ministering to an individual. When I put my hands on his head, the demon would push back. It was like bubbles coming up on his scalp. It would just literally push my hands up, you know, and I would rebuke those spirits and break the curses. And this man was, his father was heavily involved in witchcraft. The enemy was controlling him. And when I would try to tape the sessions, he wouldn't manifest because he didn't want the man to see it. He didn't want the man to know because the man was trying to come to God. And I would try to tape those sessions. That devil wouldn't let me tape them because he didn't want the guy to know. In Daniel, the second chapter, verse 22, it says that he revealed the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. God revealed the deep and secret things. God has revelation for us, knowledge. If we turn to God in our afflictions and we trust him, he will reveal the true roots of our problems. Remember, it's the truth that we know that's going to make us free. How many Christians turn to God when they're going through a battle and truly desire the whole root removed? How many just desire for a Band-Aid? I would say that very few turn to God to get the whole root. They just want to be released or relieved of the affliction or the pressure. Most of us have met people that we've ministered to that were just satisfied with the Band-Aid. And they went away. We said, well, come back Friday night. You know, come back for prayer. Because you know that they need more than that Band-Aid they just received. Scriptures teach us there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We need to earnestly seek to know what God's word says and how he feels and what he thinks about the situations that are occurring in our lives, and not the idea that we have our minds and that our thoughts are centered around the world systems, schools, doctors, lawyers, news, and people. And are we truly hearing from God, or are we hearing the voice of the enemy in our affliction? In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, I'm going to finish with this scripture. Thank you for your attention, and I hope that I give you enough to make you start searching our scriptures instead of saying, I just want to come to get free, or those who are coming to you to get free. Now we realize it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility that we dig in the scriptures now instead of just getting some awe, knowing you got the power of the Holy Ghost, you got the all-precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Now you know. We should begin the process of searching the Scripture and teaching the people that come for prayer to search the Scripture so that they can hold their deliverance. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal the things, but it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. And my question this morning to us would be, are we really searching out the matters in our lives? Who reveals the hidden things in our lives? Who reveals the sins and shows us the necessary Scriptures to be healed and delivered? The Lord. But do we turn to God, or do we turn to the Word of God to find the roots of our infirmities? Well, if you haven't been doing that, we need to do that. Once again, that we assume that every physical illness, including the trauma, infections, and inflammations, atrophies, allergies, paralysis, is a result of some spiritual reality. The natural realm, the realm of sight, is always parallel to, results from some spiritual activity. The physical manifestations is just the fruit of some spiritual root. I hope that this has blessed you and it has blessed me over the years. I know it's a different type of delivery, but I'm sure it's got you all thinking about, man, I'm going to get in the Word. In the book of Psalms and Proverbs, there's all kinds of scriptures that deal with infirmities. Just have fun because they're in there, and watch people get healed and watch them get healed thoroughly. May God bless you. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.